Pippa Jones on TRE.
And back with Tony Gosling, because who else to comment on the report yesterday that was published about Jimmy Savile and the BBC's dealing of the monstrous years of abuse which were meted out by that particular DJ. Tony, what can we say?
Well, good question. I mean, the obvious thing to say, which not a lot of people have been saying, is the BBC was supposed to be doing investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Why didn't it look at itself?
Yeah.
Since it had probably the biggest story of the century right in its own corridors. Well, it doesn't totally surprise me that they didn't. I mean, if you go back to the mid-1970s, Harold Wilson, who was the Labour Prime Minister in those days, I just about remember, he was elbowed out of office by MI5, who were bugging and burgling him. I mean, if anyone's read the book Spycatcher, will know all about this. That they were basically going to cabinet members' homes, a bit like Watergate, really, in the States, which caused President Nixon to resign, is when the security services, the secret services, start to target domestic political parties in covert operations, you've really got a serious problem. I mean, I think we're way down the line from that now. I think our secret service, the MI5, MI6, are really, you know, fantastically overmighty. And if there was any MP that wanted to try and expose what they're up to and was getting quite close to the truth, they'd probably get a real hard time one way or another. But as part of that, the BBC actually started a documentary program into looking at what was happening to Harold Wilson. And it was Barry Penrose and Roger Courtier, who were two journalists who'd just done a whole load of really good investigative journalism on South Africa, looking into what was going on in apartheid South Africa, rather as if maybe, you know, someone equivalent today might be looking into apartheid Israel. You know, a very controversial subject, highly politically charged. And so Wilson trusted Penrose and Courtier to look into the MI5's activities. And they were in the middle of doing a documentary for the BBC about this in the mid-late 70s. And what should happen is they turned up for work on a Monday morning and found that everything in their office had been taken out and the locks had been changed, and they had a note on the door saying, your services are no longer required, here's your final paycheck. So that was the kind of thing that was going on in the 70s as well. It doesn't totally surprise me that this sort of thing was able to continue. So what we had yesterday was this report, which has taken, I think the whole thing started in 2011, so that's, 5 years, to actually, you know, have some sort of report available to the public. It was supposed to have been published last year, but hey, the Metropolitan Police demanded that it should be delayed by 10 months, and I imagine that so they could have a good look at it to make sure there was nothing embarrassing about them.
Yeah.
And there was actually a leaked version by Xaro News, this little news agency in London that's been, you know, doing some sterling work on child sexual abuse, and it was interesting to hear Dame Janet Smith having a go at Xaro News yesterday, saying there's no public interest in leaking this. Well, of course, there is a great deal of public interest. So if I was her, I'd have kept my mouth shut about that, because she's rather showing that she doesn't believe that there's a public interest in scrutinising her at all. And if you look at what she said yesterday, there clearly is a great deal of public interest in scrutinising her, because she's particularly talked about the fact that, according to her, there was no evidence that any senior management knew what was going on. And she listed a whole load of senior managers, which is available in most of the newspapers today, this list of various managers, and none of them knew, apparently, and there's no evidence that they knew. Well, I would just put it to her, it was a shame none of the journalists asked this, that in the early 1970s and in the early 1980s, there were press reports in the national press pointing the finger at Jimmy Savile as a potential child abuser. So if it was in the national press, how come the senior management didn't know anything about it? I just think there's absolutely no real credibility to that at all. I would also point to my own experience at the BBC. I mean, I was working in London in local radio, which was a very big local radio station, covering the whole of London in the early 1990s. And I got quite a, you know, quite a good insight into how the whole organisation operates, with a very sort of overmighty management, and also promotion coming often through things like sexual favours done to, for example, a programme organiser I work with, you know, this kind of thing, and people getting on the air for that sort of reason, going on behind the scenes, and rumours, but at least some of them were corroborated. But when I actually then started working down in Salisbury, I worked for local radio in Wiltshire, Wiltshire Sound, based in Salisbury. It wasn't long working down there before one of my colleagues started coming along. She said, well, she was a young mum, and she knew some of her daughter's friends were in children's homes. And she'd also been chatting to mums of kids who were in these children's homes, and they were very unhappy that they'd been... their children had been taken away, put in care homes, and then were being abused. And there were two of these homes where this abuse was happening. And I would suggest, I mean, I should probably say alleged abuse, because I didn't have absolute first-hand 100% evidence, but we had lots and lots of anecdotal evidence. And it was the deputy leader of the Conservative group in Salisbury back in 1992 that owned these two homes. And so we started looking into this, and tried to get a bit of an investigation going as part of our job on the radio. And lo and behold, about 3 or 4 weeks after we started doing this, I get a little note from the boss, oh, your services are no longer required. We don't want you around anymore. So I was left a rather bad taste in my mouth, you know, after having at least come across a really important story. It's very difficult as a journalist to be then going around sort of talking about the local bottle bank or whatever, you know, when you know there's something really big going on which is being covered up. And we were told, oh, the police have looked into it, there's nothing to find. Well, that's just not good enough, I'm afraid, you know, and the police can be part of these conspiracies and cover-ups, as I think they probably were with Jimmy Savile. I've been so many different investigations into him that nothing was done with. But I also worked with Liz McKean, who was one of the people who did expose Jimmy Savile at Newsnight back in 2010-2011. And Liz was, I always found her very, very conscientious, super conscientious, much more conscientious than me, probably, but that's probably why she did so well and went on to work on Newsnight. But it's absolutely, there was no mention whatsoever in Dame Janet Smith's and Linda Dobbs's report about the way that Liz McKean, for exposing this, was also eased out, moved out of the BBC after doing this report.
Well, remind me, the programme was sat on, wasn't it? I don't think it even got aired in the end.
The Newsnight one didn't, no, but there was a panorama. So what happened is effectively Liz and Marion Jones, who was the other journalist at Newsnight who was looking at doing this story, basically walked out of the Newsnight office down the road to Panorama, and they did a story. But actually the main reason that Panorama did something was because ITV had made the programme. Now, you know, this does show you the sort of culture there. We were told yesterday the culture has changed. No, that's just not true. Go online and have a look at my union, the National Union of Journalists, reports on bullying at the BBC. It's still a very serious problem. And so what Dame Janet Smith's doing is she's just whitewashing the whole... If you look at all of the different points, pretty much, that she came up with in one way or another, it's another whitewash. She says attitudes were different back then towards sexual behaviour. Well, actually, you know, promiscuity is more acceptable in many... most people would say now than it was back in the 1960s and 1970s.
It is the most spineless excuse, isn't it? Attitudes were different back then, because that really shows that this is... dealt with historically, and that's not what we want to hear when we're talking about children being abused.
Yeah, she's also playing to youngsters who maybe weren't around back in those days. You know, it's really, really cheap. There were five investigations, internal ones, into the BBC, all of which failed, we're told, and nobody who conducted those investigations is being put under any blame for this, because apparently they didn't know. I mean, you know, this is just ridiculous, isn't it?
Tony, let me, very quickly, we've only got a minute or so left, about this situation with Tony Blackburn.
Difficult to know. Really, I mean, it just does look, certainly on the surface, that he's just been used as a scapegoat. Also, another thing which really, really annoys me is the way that a lot of the reporting of this has conflated Stuart Hall with Jimmy
yes,
Savile, because
yeah.
Stuart Hall's, I mean, the offences he was committing
yeah.
were absolutely nothing compared to Savile. I mean, certainly no rapes or anything like that. And so yeah. what they're doing is deliberately trying to make it, oh, well, we've got Stuart Hall at least. But
yeah. It's almost packaging
like
it, isn't it? Packaging is as though to tell us that, you know, it has been dealt with. And, you know, again, it's the historical element. That's what I'm really, really uncomfortable with.
And Stuart Hall wasn't going to Chequers every Christmas with Margaret Thatcher, one of her best
yeah.
friends, or Prince Charles and the royal family, you know. So
yeah.
there's no real... and also, of course, she couldn't compel anyone to give evidence in this inquiry either, Dame Janet Smith. So complete waste of time, a cover-up yet again. And I wrote an article for Russia Today a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago or so, which was really explaining how the cover-up is now complete. If this was to be happening now, we would probably never hear about it. The only way this Savile story got out was through Richard Ingram's The Oldie magazine. Even Private Eye wouldn't touch it, wouldn't print it. And now Richard Ingram's has been sacked from The Oldie magazine. So if anyone even wanted to try and get a story like this out today, what's happened is, I think the powers that be, the criminal elite in Britain, have followed the trail of how on earth did this get out, and they've made sure that those that facilitated it, including those at the BBC, Marion Jones and Liz McKean, have been given the sent on their way. And there's been no justice. There's clearly a conspiracy to cover up Jimmy Savile. There are clearly people still walking the corridors of the BBC and retired who were part of that conspiracy, and none of them have been sent to jail, not a single one yet. So someone quite cleverly pointed out, I think it was on Channel 4 News last night, many people have gone to jail for not paying their licence fee,
yeah.
but none of these
yeah.
conspiracy to abuse children people have done. So it yeah. indicates again that we've got a criminal elite in this country that's embedded in the BBC.
Yeah. Tony Gosling, brilliant as always. We've run out of time, but thank you. I look forward to next time.
Thanks, Pippa.
Bye-bye.
Pippa Jones on TRE.
Talk Radio Europe. Your voice in Spain.